Let's open up our Bibles. If you have a Bible, we're going to read today through Proverbs chapter 1. Learn about wisdom. Wisdom. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to let your word have a place in our hearts today. Father, I ask you to give us a desire to pursue God's wisdom in our life, to recognize there is a wisdom that's not from you, and to seek yours out, Father. I ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk today about wisdom, and the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. You know, Solomon is probably a guy who's really equipped well by the Lord, because one time the Lord said to him, hey, if you ask me for anything, I'll give it to you. Who would like that, the Lord to say that to you? If you ask me for anything, I'll give it to you. He said, Lord, what I need is wisdom. I need wisdom and understanding. And God gave him this wisdom, said he was more wise than anybody else on the earth. And so these Proverbs, this book in the Bible called Proverbs, was written by this man that God gave wisdom to. And the book of Proverbs is largely little nuggets, little phrases of instruction, or, you know, comparisons or parallels to help us understand God's way. And if we learn to seek out God's wisdom, we can begin to align our own life to how God wants us to live in practical ways. So first, I'm going to give you a little definition. What is wisdom? Wisdom, and this is just, I mean, I didn't get this out of a dictionary. It's just kind of a common sense, but it's insight and understanding to navigate life, complexities of life. Every one of us go through life. We have to make decisions. We act in certain ways. We do certain things. We decide certain things. And whenever we do those things, we're drawing upon wisdom. It could be foolish wisdom, or it could be good wisdom, but nonetheless, we're drawing upon something to inform us and say, what should I do in this situation? That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is that ingredient, that insight, that understanding that we use to help us decide about what we're doing in life. Now, the Bible teaches there's two kinds of wisdom. In James 3, verse 15, it talks about wisdom that comes from above. Who do you think is the author of that? That's God. It's wisdom that comes from above. Now, here's a question. If God created us, which he did, who do you think has the greatest wisdom for our life? God. So we want this wisdom that comes from above. But it also talks about, in the book of James, this wisdom that is earthly. And sometimes we have insight or understanding or things we draw upon. We make decisions about what we do in life that really aren't from God. And he calls that earthly wisdom. It's also called unspiritual. Anybody here ever made an unspiritual decision in life? Well, you were drawing upon this worldly wisdom, not God's wisdom. Some other kind of wisdom that was out there that you said, you know what, I'm going to tap into that. And maybe it was unspiritual. Sometimes that earthly wisdom might even be demonic. You know, Satan has a certain wisdom. He had a certain wisdom when he spoke to Adam and Eve, didn't he? He said, hey, you know what, God said, you shouldn't eat from that tree, but I'm telling you, if you do, you'll be wise. Your eyes will be open. You'll know what's right and wrong. God's trying to hide something from you. That was wisdom. It was demonic wisdom, but it was something that they took that enabled them to make a decision. But in this case, they were not aligned with God's way. They were aligned with a demonic way, an earthly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3 speaks about two kinds of wisdom. He calls it wisdom that's from God, you know, the wisdom above, And he also calls it wisdom of the world. That's that same one that James talks about, the wisdom that's earthly, wisdom of the world. He also called it wisdom of men. In that particular book in the Bible, he calls it foolish. The wisdom of this world is foolish compared to God's wisdom. So the question, you know, you got to be thinking about, I've been asking you guys to think about this morning, is what is the wisdom that is directing my life? You know, what do I look for understanding, for insight, for guidance, to help me choose what I do in this life? You know, how I relate to people, how I train my children, how I speak, what I do with my money, how I treat my neighbor. See, wisdom guides all of those things. And the book of Proverbs speaks about all of them in these little nuggets of insight, little nuggets of understanding that give us God's wisdom, give us understanding about God's way. So that's the question I want you to be thinking about this morning is, which wisdom am I tapping into? Is it God's wisdom or the wisdom of the earth, the wisdom of man, unspiritual wisdom, or even demonic wisdom? So Proverbs 1:20, it talks about, and Christy read this morning, it says there, wisdom cries aloud in the street. When I think of that, I think that wisdom is really available. It's universally available to everybody. It's out here crying out. Imagine yourself walking down through the street and you see this wisdom, whatever, you know, personification of wisdom over here, crying out, say, hey, I got something for you over here. And it's out in the street, out in the marketplace, available to anybody who's walking by. I think it's available to every one of us. There's nobody here sitting in this room today who does not have access to wisdom that comes from God, to be able to make godly decisions, spiritual choices for life. But we have to decide to listen and decide to hear and decide to respond to it. So wisdom cries aloud in the streets, in the markets. She raises her voice. You know, when you go home today and you're about ready to have an argument with your neighbor, picture wisdom over here saying, hey, I got something to share with you. Before you say that, I got something to say. Or you're going to go out there and, you know, do something with your money, and wisdom's over here and say, hey, before you do that, come here. Or your kids are acting up and you're thinking, how do I deal with these children? Wisdom's over here saying, hey, I got some ideas for you. Come over and listen to me. So wisdom is constantly calling out. It's available to anybody who will listen. It says, at the head of the noisy street, she cries out. And sometimes the reason why we don't hear is because the street is so noisy. We're hearing everything else. We're distracted by everything else on this busy avenue, that we don't just take that time to step back and to say, hey, what's wisdom crying out? What is it that wisdom is saying in this moment that I can listen to and actually begin to do something that's inspired by God? At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So what I want to share with you this morning from this chapter one are three things that'll help you to embrace God's wisdom. Okay, I know you understand this idea that there's two kinds of wisdom, and you understand that wisdom is crying out. The real question is, how do I embrace it? How do I take that voice of wisdom that's crying out, and say, I want it to be for me? And there's three things here, I think, in this chapter that speak to that. One is, you got to have a teachable spirit. You know that? You have to be willing to be told something. How many of you know there are things we don't know that we need to know? You know, there has to be within us a teachable spirit that says, I don't really know everything about this life. I could use some input. And if you're going to get input about your life and your decisions you're making, Why not get heavenly input? Why not get input from God's way? Not something on YouTube. Facebook's going to guide me today. No, step back and say, wisdom is crying out. Come to wisdom and let her speak. So, teachable spirit, verse 2. These verses, 2 through 6, actually show us kind of like the purpose of the book of Proverbs. You know, why did he write these things? And here's the reason. One is to know wisdom and instruction. How many of you want to know wisdom? Well, that's the reason Proverbs was written. To know wisdom and instruction. And the idea of knowing something, like knowing wisdom and knowing instruction, kind of has at the beginning of that, there's some instruction I need. There's some wisdom I need. So I'm going to this book of Proverbs to read some of these nuggets about God's wisdom to help me know. To know wisdom and instruction. There's something I don't know that I need to know. The other one is there, it says to understand words of insight. What's that mean? It means there's insight I don't understand. I want to understand it. I don't understand it now. Where am I going to go get the understanding? From God. From his wisdom. From his book. Proverbs is full of this practical wisdom from God. To receive instruction in wise dealing. Right? I mean, we're always dealing in this world. We're always dealing with something, with somebody. And he says, part of this instruction of Proverbs is to receive instruction for wise dealing. I need that, and you need that. Teach me, Lord. Can you see how a teachable spirit is necessary? Because you might walk around thinking, I got all the wisdom I need. I've got all the understanding I need. I got all the instruction I need. Don't you realize how many years I've been alive on this earth? I know everything. Well, that's probably an indication you don't know what you need to know. And I'm saying that because I've been around this earth long enough that I need to know more. I need to know more. Seems like the longer I've been around, the more I need to know. So, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, in justice, and equity. Man, I want to have that kind of wisdom about righteousness, about equity, about justice. It says the Proverbs are to give prudence to the simple. If you're simple today, that's okay, but he wants to give you wisdom, prudence. He wants to take you where you are and move you to something different, give you something to help you around this life, to give prudence to the simple, to give knowledge and discretion to the youth. Man, our youth need knowledge and discretion, but it's going to come from God. You know, you grandparents and parents, bring your kids to the Word of God. Let God's word speak into their lives, because this is wisdom from above that's coming. It's wisdom from God that's being imparted to them. You know, he will give discretion to the youth. It says in verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning. So maybe you are wise. Maybe you're here today saying, you know what, Kirk? I'm not even sure why I'm sitting here today, because I'm already wise. He says, hey, you know what? If you're wise, hear and increase. You don't have all wisdom. Maybe you are wise, but you're not all wise. And so you could use some more. And so he says, let the wise hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands, maybe say, I have all understanding. But the one who understands, he can obtain some guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So that's the purpose of the book of Proverbs. But can you see from these few phrases here how if you're really going to embrace God's wisdom, you have to have a teachable spirit. You have to realize there's things I don't know, understanding I don't have, insight I haven't grasped, wisdom I haven't attained to. And I need something more. I need to seek God for this because I'm going to get wisdom from somewhere. You know, something's going to guide my decisions in this life. Why not go to the Lord and get His? The second thing we need is the fear of the Lord. The Bible says there in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So he's kind of drawing this parallel concept here. So on the one side, he's saying the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but on the other side, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So which are you? You know, look at yourself and say, where am I at in this particular scripture? Am I fearing God and finding the beginning of knowledge, or am I despising instruction? And because of that, becoming a foolish person. I'm despising wisdom and instruction. Deuteronomy 10 describes what the fear of the Lord is. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God? And I think the next phrases here is really kind of embellishing what that means. To walk in His way. You know, if you fear the Lord, there's something about this fear of the Lord that motivates us to say, I want to walk in the way of the Lord. You know, God is interested in what's going on in my life. And I love Him and I honor Him and I believe He is who He says He is. His word is true. And because of the fear of the Lord, I want to walk in His way. To walk in all His ways, to love Him. You might feel strange about this idea of fearing the Lord and love, but they do go hand in hand. The fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord go hand in hand. And to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. I think that in some way defines the fear of God. Lord, I want to walk in your way. I want to love you with all my heart. I want to serve you. I want to give myself to you, all my heart, all my soul. I want the fear of God to really guide me. I want that to be sort of a foundation because He says this is the beginning of knowledge. Starts with that. Another place says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You really don't even have wisdom unless you can begin with this. You know, when we don't fear the Lord, I mean, I think of the story of Joseph. Remember when Joseph was there and that woman was, Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him and have him come and go to bed with her. He ran from that situation. What was it? Where did that wisdom come from? To be able to make a decision that was really probably against every ounce of manhood in that guy. To be able to say, no, I got to run from this. And he left his cloak behind. He made a decision based in wisdom, but he feared the Lord. He said, why? I cannot sin against the Lord in doing this. It was the fear of God to be able to say, I want to walk in His way. I want to love Him. I want to do what He wants. And that's what motivated him to use godly wisdom in the midst of a very high-pressured situation. But he chose wisdom. It was an awesome story. We love that story. And you can find them all through the Bible, people who are motivated to do what's right. They're making wise decisions because of the fear of the Lord. The third thing that will help us embrace God's wisdom is a discerning heart. You know, one of the things he mentioned there, to give discretion to the youth. Remember that? Give discretion. We need to have a discerning heart to be able to kind of sort out the wisdom. Where's it coming from? When I'm starting to make decisions in my life, what am I drawing? Am I drawing upon God's word? Am I drawing upon God's wisdom? Or am I drawing on something else? Be able to have this discretion to choose and say, hey, this is good. This really isn't. This is a good decision. This is a bad decision because this one's founded in God's way. So having that discerning heart is to me another way to embrace God's wisdom. And so in verse 8 it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." But then in verse 10 he says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." So he's kind of showing him this discretion. Here, you can listen to your parents, but if you have this other guy over here trying to take you off into sin, don't listen to him. You know, there's two wisdoms coming here. There's a wisdom over here that you should say, "That's good wisdom, and I want to follow it." And there's another wisdom over here that you should be able to say, "No." And so it says, "If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason.'" Then it goes on to say how these brothers here are trying to get you to join with them to rob somebody. You know, there's some money to be made here. So let's all join together. We'll just lay in ambush. We'll take somebody, we'll take their money, and we'll split it up evenly among us. And you might think, wow, what a great idea. That sounds like a great idea. Now, we can sit here and laugh about it, but every day in this country, people listen to that wisdom. Every day. And so we have to have this discerning heart, this discretion to be able to say, "Hey, you know what? That wisdom really isn't from God. So I don't want to turn that way. I want to find something else to guide this thing in my life." And then he goes on in verse 22. "How long, O you simple ones?" So it's wisdom speaking. "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple?" I mean, do you want to continue to be simple? Really, that's the question. Who does? Well, if you don't tap into God's wisdom, then that's us if we don't. "How long will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in scoffing and fools hate knowledge?" Look at what he says here in the next verse. "If you turn at my reproof," in other words, wisdom is speaking to us and we hear it, and even if it reproves us, meaning, hey, here's some correction, I'm going to push you in a different direction. We say it, we hear it, and we say yes to it, we respond. He says, "If you turn at my reproof, I will pour out my spirit to you." Man alive, I didn't really develop this here, but I'm going to show you maybe next time I share here that wisdom personified is really Jesus. And Jesus is the one speaking here. He is the wisdom of God. And he's saying, "Hey, if you will come and hear my reproof, hear what I'm saying to you and turn, I'm going to pour out my spirit to you." I mean, who wants that? I want that in my life. We'll say, "Hey, Lord, you know what? When you correct me, I'm responding. When you speak to me, I'm listening. When I see something in the Word of God that's showing me a different direction, I want to take it because I want you to pour out your spirit on me." And then he says, "I will make my words known to you." Amen. I mean, I wrote down on my notes here, there's a blessing for receiving God's wisdom. If you don't remember anything I share with you today, remember Proverbs 1:23. "If you turn at my reproof, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known unto you." I want that. I want that from Jesus. I want his spirit to be filling my life, and I want to understand his word. But it comes from turning at his reproof. It comes from hearing his wisdom and saying yes to it. Now, I'm going to guarantee you, sometime you're going to read God's wisdom and it's going to go against the grain of your own life. Sometimes it's going to hurt to be able to make a decision to say, "Yeah, that's what God wants," and to choose that path. But what a blessing. "If you turn at my reproof, I'll pour my spirit out and I'll show you my word." Isn't that awesome? But there's also a consequence for ignoring God's wisdom. And here's what that says. Because I have called and you refuse to listen. See, that's hearing. Wisdom is crying out in the streets. I have called and you have refused to listen. I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. Wait a minute. This is really what happens. We refuse the wisdom of God. We push aside his counsel. We don't really want his reproof. You know, we push it away for whatever reason. He says, hey, you know what? There's a consequence. There's a calamity that's coming, but it's kind of like reaping what you sowed. In other words, you caused the problem. I was calling out. I was reaching out. I was trying to give you some wisdom, trying to give you some insight, trying to give you some understanding, but you kept saying no. Well, he's going to laugh when the calamity comes. I mean, who wants to be on that side? I don't want that, Lord. He said in verse 27, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you'll call upon me, but I'll not answer. Whoa, wait a minute. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. You know, I mean, think of Adam and Eve when they chose the wisdom of Satan. The Lord pushed them out of the garden. I mean, there was a consequence. I'm sure they weren't happy about it. They were now having to work and dig, and bristles were coming forth out of the ground. There was a consequence toward ignoring God's wisdom. Now, God made a way for them to come back into righteousness, to be forgiven and to keep that relationship with him. But there was still a consequence toward ignoring God's wisdom. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we're all living lives here today, and we could all look back in our history, and probably every one of us have some, I don't know, mark or, you know, something in our life that's there because, you know, we chose worldly wisdom. And there's been a consequence. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way. See, he's saying basically, if that's the path you want, go for it. Wisdom is crying out, say, hey, I got a better way. There's a better way over here. And you say, I don't need that. I'm going to choose my own path. And the Lord's like, okay, there you go. How's that feel now? How are you liking that? See, he's calling us to give us something good. His wisdom is calling out to say, hey, there's a better way. There's a better way. So they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. Verse 32, for the simple are killed by their turning away. You see that? It's our turning away that really hurts us. The simple are killed by their turning away, and it's the complacency of fools that destroys them. But here's another positive. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and be at ease without dread of disaster. Amen. I'd like to stand with me if you would. Isn't that a good chapter from the Bible? I mean, God has so much to give to his people. Wisdom for life's decisions. You know, I'm not here today to speak about specific things, but just to kind of give you a foundational understanding that God has wisdom to give. The Bible tells us in the book of James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Ask of God, and he will give it to you liberally. So if you're here today, just begin to make that part of your prayer life. Lord, I need wisdom. If you have a decision to make, get down before you make it and say, Lord, would you give me wisdom here in this decision? Give me wisdom about what I'm about to do here. And it could be in any area of your life. Relationship, financial, raising your children, marriage, you know, conflict, job. I mean, every area, every sphere of our life, there's wisdom for it. But we have to have that ear tuned and say, hey, Lord, I have a teachable heart and I fear the Lord. I want to walk in your ways. And the third thing was, give me that discerning heart to know the difference. So, Father, I pray. I ask for wisdom, Lord. I want us to be able to tap into this wisdom that's from heaven, the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God, and to reject the wisdom of this earth, the wisdom of man, which is foolish, the unspiritual wisdom, the demonic wisdom, Lord, to push all that aside and let our ear be open to hear your word. For I pray that as we look through the book of Proverbs and understand some of these things, that wisdom would just be kind of emblazoned on our heart, and we would begin to build our lives upon that solid rock of your wisdom, Lord. I ask you to bless your people here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hey, listen, if you have a need for prayer,